This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here we are once again. It's our weekly opportunity to field your questions, radio program at AOL.com is your destination for questions. And there's been a little bit of a lull in our questions, so this is a good time to get a question to us. I know that people, I think, are still a little hungover
From the holidays. From being sleepy in the cold weather.
Yeah.
Everything kind of slows down.
Right.
Yeah.
The credit card statements are arriving. And
people are depressed. Right. Oh, no, we got to pay those bills?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, thought there'd be no reckoning. Okay. So before we get to questions, you know, some interesting stories. You know, first of all, you know, let's talk a little bit about the coronavirus. You know, this is a concern because, and it has, it, you know, it's the kind of thing that launched movies like, what was Breakout?
Contagion.
Contagion.
Yes, I remember that one.
Yeah, you know, it's these sort of scary movies about the potential for a, you know, 1918-like flu virus to overwhelm the world's population and literally decimate the world's population, which is actually what happened in 1918. And towards the end of World War One, the war was stagnating.
Yeah.
And, you know, people were, you know, sort of dealing with the casualties and the deprivation of World War One and the rationing. And all of a sudden, and the Americans were entering World War One. And all of a sudden, this devastating flu swept through the entire world. It was a global phenomenon. It was facilitated by the fact that there was a war going on, and there was a lot of travel.
Yeah.
So there was a world war, so Australians were going to Europe, you know, and New Zealanders were going to Europe, and Americans were, the doughboys were on their way to the battlefields in France. And there were also a lot of men kept in cramped circumstances in army camps, and it started to spread like wildfire.
Yeah.
And it was a peculiar type of flu because, you know, the flu tends to affect normally the weakened population.
Yes.
The elderly and the very young, you know, like a lot of infant mortality and childhood mortality. This one affected people in their primes.
Yeah.
And it was a type of influenza. It was an unusual recombination of influenza. And viruses have the ability to very quickly mutate because they're trying to survive.
Right. Law of nature.
Yeah. Yeah. And they are evolving at a very high rate. They're exchanging genetic material with one another in a primitive form of sex, you know, which is exchange of their DNA and RNA.
Yeah.
And very quickly they can develop virulence. And they often are passed from animal populations to humans.
Yeah.
That was the plot of one of those movies is, you know, I mean, certainly that was the origin of AIDS, was that it was thought to be transmitted originally to
from
bats,
a monkey.
Monkeys.
Yeah.
And then, you know, monkey meat was considered like a delicacy and people were, whatever, consuming monkey meat or I don't know what it was. You know, in the darkest reaches of Africa. And then, you know, because of international travel, you know, some steward who's thought to be the index case for HIV, patient X or patient 1 was the first male, he was a homosexual, who developed this and then passed it in an epidemic fashion.
So anyway, so these viruses tend to emerge. We had SARS. SARS was a big scare because it actually affected the world economy because people were freaked out. There was also this company called MERS, which is Middle East something something. Respiratory something.
Syndrome,
yeah, whatever. And what they have in common is that they're not influenza viruses, they're coronaviruses. And coronaviruses are actually the cause of a lot of common colds.
Okay.
And they're not, you know, they're unpleasant, but they're not devastating. But with certain mutations, they can really affect the lungs, and they can cause a fatal
pneumonia.
And that's what's happening in China. And they this is a developing story. Every day I read the papers to see, and you know, by the time some of you hear it, there may be some new ramifications to this. It was first confined to a city in China, which is sort of in the center of China, and then it spread to, you know, other Chinese cities, and it affected 900 people, and there were, you know, a handful of deaths. There have been 9 deaths in China. It's not that treatable, although there are a couple of drugs, candidate drugs for it, antiviral drugs. We don't have very good antiviral drugs. Okay, what I was waiting for was the first case in the U.S., and it's happened. There was a man in Washington State who recently traveled to that part of China, and he came down with it. Now, what's good about this is they do have tests for it. They can rapidly screen for it. And they're actually taking measures at you know, airports where they have a lot of Chinese travelers. Now, here's an interesting thing about JFK. Have you been to JFK lately?
Yes.
Airport?
Yeah, last October.
Major international portal. And I got back from San Diego, California. I took a plane. It was Las Vegas to JFK. And I got back very late. You know, it was like 11:30 at night, 12 o'clock at night. So, you know, the airport was kind of dead. You know, people are sort of sweeping up. And a lot of the concessions are closed down. But as I walked down this long corridor, there was this huge number of people queued up for flights to places in China that I'd never heard of. Now, I've heard of Shanghai and Beijing. And Hong Kong, and that's about it. But there are dozens of cities in China that have a greater than 10 million population.
Yeah.
You never hear of, and that's actually one of those cities. And there were almost all the people, I would say maybe there were one or two non-Chinese people getting on to these planes. Because that's how they use JFK at night. You know, they put people on these long flights to China. Because when it's underutilized for other types of flights. And so it's very conceivable that there would be transmission, you know, very rapidly across the world, you know, people flying from China. There's a lot of big Chinese population, a lot of countries in Europe, in Australia, in, you know, so this could be disseminated very widely. So it's a public health emergency.
Yeah.
They actually convened an emergency meeting of the, whatever, the, you know, these viral, you know,
disease
epidemic.
Control experts, you know, and
worldwide, you know,
to
measures to undertake, you know, and to plan for, you know, keeping this, to curtail it. And so the other thing is, interestingly, you know, the stock market was going up, 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 up. On news of this, it took a little bit of a hit. You know, they say when Asia sneezes, the rest of the world catches a cold. You know,
Asia sneezing, pun intended.
Because it could have an effect on the economy there, certainly, because, you know, less free transportation. You know, maybe there'll be some quarantines. It's going to affect international jet travel, possibly. You know, less people want to get on a plane, less tourism. You know, maybe even some declines in industrial production. And, you know, we're keeping an eye on this.
Yeah. So at this point in time, at this recording time...
Take elderberry.
Elderberry.
I'm not going to say that because it's like, we don't know. But, you know,
right.
It makes even more sense to keep, you know, your immune system strong. But I got to say that, you know, I'm going to be, you know, not taking just a holistic position on this and exploiting this as a way of saying, buy more oregano, buy more, you know, AHCC, you know. No,
viruses.
We don't know.
We don't know.
I mean, I think it's good to keep yourself in good shape.
Yes.
I also think...
And wash your hands.
I also think this is one of these stories that tends to get amplified, maybe unnecessarily, but you know, you don't know. In a week or two, we might have completely forgotten about this, or it might be like a big problem.
If there's
problem.
An antidote, yeah.
Well, there's a treatment,
yeah.
But it, you know, it's only partially effective.
I see.
The treatment in question is a drug that I've never heard of, which is also used against Ebola. And
wow.
It's partially effective against Ebola.
Okay.
Which is a completely different virus.
Yeah.
But it seems to have some effects against coronaviruses.
Okay, well, that's encouraging.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a, it may help very sick patients if they identified as having that, they go to the hospital. Also, the other thing that's concerning is that a lot of the people who've gotten sick from this are healthcare workers, people who treat the very people who are sick.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, which is concerning as well.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's happening.
Oh.
On the other, on the nutrition, you know, this is a, intelligent medicine is about nutrition as well and supplements. Mm-hmm. This is a fascinating story. I don't know if you've seen this. January 17, 2020.
Mm-hmm.
It's from Journal of the American Medical Association. Associations of fish oil supplement use with testicular function in young men.
Mm-hmm.
The question, they ask, is intake of fish oil supplements associated with testicular function as measured by semen quality mm-hmm. and reproductive hormone levels among young, healthy men, not
uh-huh.
that old, you know,
right.
low T,
yeah.
you know, obese, metabolic syndrome men, but young,
right.
healthy men. Just, if you're a young man
mm-hmm.
and you want a, yeah, better sperm quality, maybe, you know, male mm-hmm. infertility is an issue, do you want to tell men to take a look, you know, a couple of fish oil capsules a day? Well, check this out.
Hmm.
There was a dose response to fish oil. The more fish oil supplements you took, better semen volume and total sperm count.
Wow.
Which, if, you know, it's the, kind of the opposite of birth control pill, you might say, well, yeah, I'm going to make sure not to take fish oil,
right.
you know,
because right.
I don't want to get my wife pregnant.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Oh, but check this out. Larger testicular size, we're talking...
Fish oil?
Fish oil.
And larger testicular size?
Hmm.
Well, that's interesting.
That's pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
A higher free testosterone level.
Uh-huh.
That's interesting.
That's very interesting. Okay, so fish oil is very anti-inflammatory.
Yeah.
I wonder if that
which
has
may
something
affect
to do.
Some of these autoimmune factors that affect testosterone production by the gonads. You know, the gonads
yeah.
are affected by autoimmunity and inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
So maybe working against the inflammatory cytokines also brought on by, you know, being overweight or crappy diet or anything like that, poor diet. Interesting. So would we say then, what do they conclude is the cause of that benefit? Is it something unique to the fish oil supplement or to omega-3 in general, or do they draw any kind of...
Well, they also mm-hmm. note that a review found that a healthy diet rich in certain nutrients such as omega-3 fatty acids, antioxidants, vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, selenium, zinc, cryptoxanthin, and lycopene,
mm.
other vitamins, vitamin D and folate, and low in saturated fats and trans fatty acids was associated with good semen quality.
Mm. Okay.
Fish, shellfish, other seafood, poultry, cereals, vegetables, fruits, low-fat dairy, and skim milk have been found to be positive associated with several semen parameters. Well, I don't think skim milk is really
yeah.
the answer.
Yes,
it makes you sexier. No. Skim milk
have
makes
some,
you sexier.
Have a glass of milk.
So headline, men, fish oil supplements and you'll be sexier.
Wow.
You know the old expression, we go to the seafood store, there used to be a sign said, eat fish, live longer. Eat shellfish, love longer. You know that whole thing?
About, oh, yeah.
You know, like
uh-huh.
the zinc in the oysters.
The oysters, right, yeah. right, and libido, yeah.
Well, maybe it's, you know,
uh-huh.
eat fish, live longer, love longer.
Right.
You know, it's encouraging.
Because if
keep
you could
taking
do the
those
former,
fish oil capsules.
You could do the latter, absolutely.
Keep taking those fish oil capsules. That's fascinating. All right, well, let's get to questions.
Interesting information. Okay. We have an email from Anita. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, I've been an avid listener of your program for years, and I've come to highly regard your opinions, and thank you both for your work.
Oh, did I mention last week?
No. What?
Did I mention we reached a threshold?
Oh, no, yeah. I don't think you did.
Okay.
Let's tell them.
All right. You tell them.
We've crossed 7 million downloads.
7 million downloads.
For the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Wow.
So it's that there's that one
it's
person
a milestone.
Out there. Maybe that's this person who's listened 7 million times.
Right. Anita downloaded this 7 million times.
Right.
Right. No, oh my gosh.
That's quite, I think.
That's really something.
You know, gosh, you know, and, you know, I really am excited that all that information is penetrated 7 million iterations into, mm-hmm. you know, probably several tens of thousands of people who are avid listeners.
Right, but, and who are passing it on as
yeah,
well.
Yeah.
That's great news. That's wonderful news.
People out there listening, you know, it's like,
yay.
It's hard. You know, we sit here and we don't see the people.
No.
So it's we could be just talking into the ether here.
Right. But,
you know, 7 million times people are affirmatively taking that step to download
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like we feel it here. We're sitting here in an office with microphones and reading these questions and discussing them.
We'll do another Facebook Live because that was popular, I hear.
Yes.
We'll do it, you know, so people can actually see us while we do it. It's kind of interesting process.
That would be good. So, Anita, thank you for listening. Anita says, I'm a slim, healthy 74-year-old woman who works out regularly, meditates, practices yoga, eats a low-carb diet.
Our prototypical intelligent medicine listener.
Exactly. Last January, I had a second transient global amnesia episode after 10 years.
Okay. TGA.
TGA.
Super scary.
Yeah.
It means that it's transient, so it goes away.
Mm-hmm.
But you just don't know where you are, who you are. You know, you can't remember anything, and you just completely like lose it. I actually have heard this in relationship. A variant of this is sexual amnesia. Is especially men after sex who can't remember anything.
Oh,
that's pretty weird.
That is weird.
Yeah.
Like, that has to do with blood flow leaving the brain.
Who are you?
What did you say your name was?
Who are you? Do I know you? Did we do something?
Where am I?
Who's paying for this hotel room?
Right. Where's my wallet?
Right. Exactly.
How many drinks did I have?
No. That's a different type.
That's a different type, exactly. That's different.
That's called chloral hydrate.
Yeah.
It's like Mickey Finn, you know.
But
to laugh at it, there's actually been cases of TGA, transglobal amnesia, that have been associated with statin use.
Ah. Now, that's interesting because, let's see here. She subsequently had a bunch of tests. And by the way, when this happened, this second episode, her LDL was 102 and her HDL was 83. Nothing really to do with cholesterol for HDL was an 83, right?
Well, that would be around, I guess they would be trying to determine, did she have a TIA or a transient ischemic attack? Because TGA is sometimes associated with a TIA, which is a transient ischemic attack or a stroke that occurs temporarily and goes away without leaving evidence.
Mm.
So you don't see an area of infarcted white matter in the brain.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So here's Anita's question. She had been taking bioidentical hormone replacement therapy and nicotinamide riboside and enjoying the youthful effects.
Right.
However, the cardiologist recommended that I stop the HRT and the nicotinamide riboside. He said that the nicotinamide riboside is a form of niacin, which has been connected to strokes.
Well, he's sort of talking out of a certain part of his anatomy, frankly, because there is no evidence that, first of all, it's ignorance of biochemistry. It's nicotinamide riboside and niacin are part of the B3 family, but nicotinamide riboside doesn't cause that horrible flushing. Vasodilation.
Exactly.
That I didn't even know if there's, I looked it up and I because you told me about this question ahead of time, and there is not a robust literature that suggests that even high dose niacin causes strokes.
Right. There was a case study, but again, that's not causation. Yeah, it was an interesting case study.
It opens up a possibility, but with high-dose niacin is totally different than nicotinamide riboside. They are forms of vitamin B3. Mm. So this is just, it's almost like any time a vitamin is on board when something bad happens,
it's blame the vitamin's fault.
Stigmatize the vitamin.
Right.
Now, with the hormone replacement therapy, we could say, if this is demonstrated to be a vascular event or a stroke, that the hormone replacement therapy technically can increase the risk of strokes.
Yeah.
There's no evidence that this was a vascular event.
Yeah. Really. She says the one anomaly in the testing she had done was some plaque found in her carotid artery, which the doctors felt may have caused a temporary blockage to my brain and the temporary memory loss.
The presence of plaque in a 74-year-old is... It's almost
it's
universal.
Normal, almost. Yeah.
It's unclear.
Anyway, she took her doctor's recommendation to stop the HRT and the nicotinamide riboside.
Yeah.
She says, I reluctantly took his recommendation, and after much deliberation and fear of a recurrence, I started taking 10 milligrams of a statin.
Okay, because on the supposition that she might have had a stroke.
Yeah, yeah.
But so, she'd been to a neurologist, she had a clear MRI, and everything was good. I mean, I guess that was part of this, because if you have an episode of TGA, you would have an MRI to see if you had a, you know.
Hopefully Anita did that.
Yeah.
And I imagine.
Know.
Yeah.
I don't know the details. So, in fact, the net effect was she stopped two things that are unlikely to have caused the problem, and she started something which actually has been demonstrated to cause the problem.
Hmm.
Because
statins,
rarely, very rarely, it's a really weird side effect of statins. That they cause transient global amnesia.
Right.
But usually I would
because
say
of
higher dose.
How they lower cholesterol, and we need cholesterol to remember stuff.
Yeah, they have some cognitive effects.
Yeah. Interesting.
Okay, so, I mean, there's something missing in this picture here. It's not clear why she had it. And I don't even know
she wants to start retaking nicotinamide riboside.
I don't even know if there's a firm rationale for taking a statin here because...
Yeah.
Look, if you
could
have
a CYA.
If you have a stroke,
yeah,
like a stroke, statistically there is some argument to be made for taking a statin, but it's not that good because the number needed to treat to prevent one stroke, it could be as high as 50 or 100 to 1.
Yeah,
49 people would have to take it unnecessarily for one person to be protected.
Right.
And usually that's associated with a very high cholesterol. So to begin with, she doesn't even have a high cholesterol. But the dictum is, pretty much standard medical practice. If you have a stroke, you should be on a statin. I mean, we just saw a lady who has that situation. She's been, she had a TIA and now she's on a statin for prevention. Mm-hmm. And that's standard medical practice.
Yeah. Wow. So she's wondering if she can restart taking her nicotinamide.
I would say there's no.
Yeah.
There's no concern that that's the cause of the stroke.
Right.
Or of the event, because we don't even know if it was an occlusive event or if there was a clot involved.
Yeah.
How about taking a blood thinner? Is she on a blood thinner?
She doesn't say.
That if they really think it was a stroke, then she would be taking at the very least some aspirin.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Yeah. That would be the first way to go.
Right.
Interesting.
I just don't know what's going on with that. But, I deplore this blanket approach that doctors have, which they don't know what these supplements are. And then out of
out of fear or out of ignorance first.
Out of bias.
Because they don't know.
Out of bias, too.
They don't know.
Because, there's a bias. It's like, you're taking this strange supplement. I don't even know what that is. But it sounds like niacin. And I've heard that niacin, it's like such guilt by association.
Exactly.
Do you speak Russian?
No.
Yes,
no,
you
very
do.
A tiny bit.
Exchange a Russian greeting with some of our Russian patients. Maybe you're involved in some kind of funny stuff, election tampering.
Oh, collusion, you say.
Collusion, yes. I'm thinking, that's that kind of thinking.
Right.
It's like
yes.
Guilt by association that's like very tenuous.
And then the well is poisoned from that point on, which is unfortunate.
Now she thinks it's like it's like putting us, stick a TNT into her system.
I know. Wow. Anita, we hope you're feeling better. We hope this never ever happens to you again. And oh my gosh, Yeah. Stay in good health. Yeah. And thank you for listening.
Okay. Let's now pause because we divide our podcast into two parts. Give us a preview of what we're going to tackle in part two.
Okay. My brother had a TURP operation for his kidney and prostate.
Okay. Transurethral something. I mean, it's a roto-rooter of your...
It's a roto-rooter is how it's described.
Transurethral section of the prostate.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he's been exhausted.
Oh, okay.
Since.
We'll tackle it.
Yeah.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, today with Layla Mudin. She's our nutritionist in residence. Radio program at AOL.com. Send your questions. We'll answer them on a subsequent edition of our Intelligent Medicine podcast. We'll be right back.